Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through Exodus here. We're in chapter 34. The Heavenly Father is speaking to Moses. He's telling the children of Israel, "Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib," which is the first month of the year, and we know that is in the spring. And right now it's the 10th month. Oh, and it's December, which means 10th month. But actually it's the 12th month in the Gregorian calendar, which is the common day calendar today, which has nothing to do with the moon. So we know by his calendar that it is actually either it is the 10th month, and that we have a 12th, an 11th, and a 12th month to come before spring, and perhaps a 13th month, because 7 of 19 years there was a 13th month to keep the calendar and the solar. The calendar was self-correcting. Because if Abib did not happen at the end of the 12th month, then they knew they had to add a 13th month, or second Adar, because Adar was the last month, and if they needed a 13th month, it was called second Adar. 6 days. Okay, where were we at here? Oh, yes. In the month of Abib, you came out of Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, every firstling among thy cattle, whether of ox, sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest time thou shalt rest. What is earing time? That was in the plowing season. Okay, that's what that means. And thou shalt observe the feasts of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and of the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before Yahuwah, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when you shall go up to appear before Yahuwah thy God thrice in the year. So what he's saying is that three times in a year that you have the feast, that no one's going to come against you when you do that in obedience to me. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, and neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto morning. And we remember all of these rules from the first Passover in Egypt. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of Yahuwah thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yahuwah 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass, as Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin upon his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. So we have here, Moses went up again another 40 days and another 40 nights. And of course, it was many men were slain that first time, most likely all the instigators, those that wanted to build the idol to worship, so that they could continue their journey and get out of the wilderness and go on to the land where they were going and forget Yahuwah and Moses, his chosen leader for them. All of those men were destroyed that first time by the Levites and all the men who chose to come when Moses said, whoever's on Yahuwah's side, come over to me. So that's what we have left. This time, there was no mischief done. They did not build an idol. This time, it was different. And they came, and he came down, and Moses' face shone. And Moses didn't know that the skin on his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And you'll remember this time that he saw Yahuwah, but he didn't see him face to face. He just saw him as he went by. So he saw him as he passed by when he uncovered him so that he could live. So I guess the thing is here that no man could see Yahuwah in all his glory face to face and live. And Moses' face shone just from seeing him after he passed by. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron, his face shone, and they were afraid to come near to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that Yahuwah had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went before Yahuwah to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So he'd have to hide his face from the children of Israel because of the glory of his face shining. But of course he would uncover his face when he went to speak with Yahuwah. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which Yahuwah, the Lord, hath commanded that you shall do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to Yahuwah. Whoever doth work therein shall be put to death. Now, this is serious business. You know, they made a covenant. They said all that he has commanded we will do. They gave their word. So they're getting the commandments again. The Sabbath commandment. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath. So they weren't to cook. And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahuwah commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto Yahuwah, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Yahuwah, gold and silver and brass. And whenever an offering is taken of the children of Israel, the ecclesia in the wilderness, and that's even true today. Our Heavenly Father does not want anything that is coerced in any way. He says, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. The blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, the badger skins, the shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set, for the ephod, the breastplate, let every wise-hearted among you come and make all that Yahuwah hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tacks, his boards, and his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the stays thereof, the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, and his staves, and all the vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, and the oil for the light, and the incense altar, the staves, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the hanging for the door at the entering of the tabernacle, the altar for the burnt offerings, with his brazen grate and his staves and all the vessels and the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, their sockets, the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court, the cords, the cloth of service to do service on the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart was stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought Yahuwah offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, and as many as were willing-hearted, brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yahuwah, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goats' hair with red skins of rams, badger skins, brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought Yahuwah offering, and every man with him whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought with that which they had spun, both of blue, of purple, scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose heart were stirred up in them in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahuwah, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which Yahuwah had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said to the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious work, to work in gold, and in silver, and brass, in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make... carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work, and he hath put in his heart that he may teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizmach, of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work of those that devise cunning work. Chapter 36. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom Yahuwah had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that Yahuwah the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart Yahuwah had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up, to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spoke unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which Yahuwah had commanded to make. And Moses gave commanded, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. And what a wonderful thing that the people brought so much that they had to be stopped. I'll bet you that don't happen in the corporate ministries today. They never say, It's enough, stop giving. Now they would never do that, would they? So they were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much, and every wise-hearted man among them. Every wise-hearted among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains, fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, and cherubim's cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, the breadth of the curtain was 4 cubits, and the curtains were all of one size. And we're getting more into details here. Of the tabernacle. And I guess we'll just finish out the hour here with these details. So 50 loops he made one curtain, and 50 loops he made he in the edge of the curtain, which was the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain together, and he made 50 tacks of gold and coupled the curtains one to another with the tacks, so it became one tabernacle. Okay. Yes, we're in Exodus chapter 36. We're getting all the details, which we already went through. Now that they're finally building the tabernacle, the people brought everything that was needed. We get all the details again. I'm not sure that I want to go through all the details again, but you get the idea. Do we need a tabernacle today? No, I don't believe that we need a tabernacle today. We are the tabernacle. The people are now. He has cleansed us with His blood. Before that, the Heavenly Father could, His Spirit could not dwell in us. His Holy Spirit could not indwell us because of our condition of mortality. And this is the grace that came with Yahushua, with Jesus Christ, Yahushua, our Messiah. We had one form of grace that allowed us to live, that allowed us to be born, that allowed us a period of time in which we could choose His provision for our redemption. But He gave us an additional grace, and that's why the scripture says that grace and truth came by Yahushua, Jesus, because He brought us a new grace, a grace that allows us to boldly enter in, to boldly go before the throne of our Heavenly Father, because He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And that's how we can be seated in heavenly places in Christ Yahushua, Jesus. That's the additional grace we get. Even though we're still in the condition of our mortality, His blood covers us. And yes, we are saved in that case. But is there a once saved, always? See, a lot of people mistake that as a once saved, always saved doctrine. And I guess the, you know, if the works don't follow, then you really need to check out your salvation. You need to question your salvation. And a lot of people have faulted me by telling me, "Oh, you're making people question their salvation." You're like, that's a bad thing, right? Well, I say, good. Let them question their salvation. I want you to question your salvation. I want you to make sure your salvation. How can you make sure your salvation? You know, you need to pray. Say, yes, I want to make sure, Heavenly Father, I want to make sure that I am one who's called. Teach me obedience. Write your law upon my heart as you have, as it's written, as He promised He would do, that He would write His law in our minds and in our hearts, and He would be our God and we would be His people. You know, Jeremiah the prophet, he wrote, after those days, in that time, he was talking about after those days, after the Messiah comes, after He lays down His life, after He spills His blood to cover our sins, after those days, in that time, I will write my law in their minds, and they will be my people. I will be their God. And that's where we're at. These are those last days. He did come as a man. He did shed His blood to cover our sins so that we can enter in. Now when He looks at us, He sees His Son, because we come in His name, so we can boldly go before the throne, cross the border into His kingdom, and live forever. You know, I just beg you, there is nothing more important in this life. Whatever you think is important in this life, there's absolutely nothing more important. If you put anything, you know, there are good things you might have before the Heavenly Father, the love of your family. But if you put it before Him, guess what? You're going to lose them and your soul. You have to put Him first. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important in this life than you cross the border into His kingdom and obtain eternal life. Because if you're not in His kingdom when your mortality ends, you won't be in His kingdom forever. You don't get to go to heaven when you die unless you're already in the kingdom of heaven before you die. You know, Yeshua said something about the scribes, the Pharisees, and He called them hypocrites. He said they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter the kingdom because they don't go in themselves. And that's what this gospel of going to heaven when you die is all about. They want you to believe that if you follow their rules, if you say the magic words, that you'll be once saved, always saved. You say the magic words, you get to go to heaven when you die. But they don't go into His kingdom. They don't enter His kingdom. As a matter of fact, they hate His kingdom because they hate His law. Because in His kingdom is His law. And you know, the thing is this. If you don't like His law now, what makes you think you're going to like heaven when you die? Because He's the King, and His law is going to reign supreme, and everyone there is going to love His law, and they're going to love to do only the things that please Him. Nothing is more important.